Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Goes Without Saying, you're listening to Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing. I'm Wing.
And I'm Seffi.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited to get into this one. It's such a nice episode. It feels quite fresh, at least for us. I don't know on your end, like, the conversations you've been having and the podcasts you've been listening to. But for us, this feels nice and new. Feels like we've broken some new ground. We've got some really interesting and I would actually say really generous insights from you on Instagram, and I feel like we've actually been quite generous of bearing our own souls in this one too, which is a bit scary, but you know, here we go. It's all for a good cause.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Hey.
Nice. Hello.
Hey, this is feeling cozy babosy today.
Feels like just yesterday we were here.
Yeah, it does.
And we were. We almost couldn't keep our hands off of this episode.
Although
yesterday,
as soon as we decided to do it, well, I was a bit apprehensive because it just feels like a big one. But then we just were doing some talking before, as we do, and I'm already feeling excited for it.
Yeah, it's just whatever we want to bring.
Yeah.
What makes you, maybe we should acknowledge what makes us feel cautious about it. We don't want to give too much, maybe.
I just feel like it's so possible to get triggered in this subject. We're talking about, you just listened to the intro, I assume.
But we're kind of talking about
men and this like reoccurring convo. In the last episode we did, that was a bit of a prelude to this conversation. And how we have a bias in life from early experiences that leads us to think that like men will betray us, men are dangerous, all of this stuff, and like challenging that bias. I feel like because I've walked through the vast majority of my life with this bias, so much so that I didn't even know it was a bias until like we were talking about it, or just like a belief that men are not really safe beings, which I still do believe in so many ways, but I would like to have like a nice life as well, and also with the awareness of often fancying men and wanting to spend time with men but also having this like distrust in them. It's such a deep subject, and it goes back to like childhood and like, to be honest, the concept of like fathers, and it's really painful territory at times. Like if I'm thinking about like my parents splitting up, as much as it's like I'm 27 years old now, this stuff happened to me when I was I don't know, 11.
Yeah.
It was years ago, but in some ways I think, God, did I ever actually deal with it?
Right, so there's still some kind of rawness maybe that we're a bit scared to bring out.
Yeah, it's almost like how much can you deal with something when you're, or I can see that so many of my behaviours were, or and beliefs were like determined by this event, that how do you process something when you're a kid that kind of is seen as like quite a normal thing but also has clearly gone in very deep?
Yeah, I really think as well, like, so where do I want to take us? Because I really want this to be like a nice, almost safe,
yeah, definitely,
you know, like almost like a little train journey that you put a kid on in like a theme park, and it's like, ooh, why don't we
flying
just sit
fish
here?
At Thorpe Park,
that sort of vibe. Yeah, it's like we're just going to take a quick little, just a little kind of drive around the park. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's skip the queues. Like, it's 2 p.m. It's getting hot.
We've
let's
got
get
fast
out.
Track tickets.
Let's get in the shade. Yeah, let's do a little like. I don't know why I'm trying to sell this fucking train to everyone. But like, come on board, guys.
You're on board. It's too late. The barriers have closed. You've paid your ticket. You're on.
A nice, gentle, almost like a bit of a safari. Of like, we're keeping it a firm distance.
Like,
we're overlooking the shit that's going on over there.
Yeah. But we are safe within our little cart. We're in our car. We're safe. Sophie, when you're driving, we're in our pink car.
Nothing to worry about.
Arms and legs inside the vehicle at all times.
At all times.
And we're fine. We're just taking photos. We're enjoying.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a luxury holiday, if anything.
Exactly. We've got our snacks. Yeah. We've got our water. That's We've all the vibe. Just been to the toilet.
We feel great.
We feel great.
Uh-huh. We did ask on Steffi and Wing on the Instagram for your thoughts as well. And I feel like that might be safer for us to stay in that realm.
Yeah, yeah.
And talk about your trauma than talk about our own.
Yeah.
But generally, yeah, I think the conversation will be shaped around the idea that our young, early experiences are obviously really formative and shape our kind of expectations and fears and anxieties and beliefs and behaviours maybe in later life.
Yeah.
And something we touched on. Oh, your sister replied with an anxious face.
Oh God. That honestly sums it up. That
wow,
sums
okay.
it up.
So we're
let me see what she did.
There's a lot of anxiety going on in this household, I'm seeing.
Oh, that's an understatement. What's the question we asked? How did your childhood experiences shape your view of relationships? And she replied with a grimace.
Honestly,
same.
Okay, well, I'm here for you guys. So there were some nice things, which I think is really nice. And I actually
I just replied
really
to her saying, tell me about it, love.
Tell me about it, stud.
Tell me about it.
This person said, my parents never ever humiliated / made fun of each other in front of others, even friends.
Mm.
And I thought love. That was such, yeah, love, such a nice rule to have.
Yeah.
Such a nice, like, general rule or like marker or like boundary to follow of like, okay, obviously we'll do our best, obviously we're going to fuck up in different ways, but generally if we keep front of mind the idea that in public settings you're the priority and I'm not about to throw you under a bus to like score points with a colleague.
God, could you imagine?
I mean, it says a lot about like loyalty and actually a word that comes up a lot for me really, which I think you made me aware of, is respect.
How did I make you aware of that?
You were just like, before, I can't, this is probably years ago, you were like, you think about respect a lot. And I was like, okay, I guess I do.
Yeah, I reckon you do.
I think to be disrespected in a relationship.
Oof, it's low.
I mean, it's kind of the lowest of
the lowest of the low. Because if you don't respect me, that pretty much is the baseline.
Yeah, and I think that's also what I'm looking for. And especially with a man, it's a nice idea to think that a man could respect you. And I think in my wrong and mind, I think that even if a man, he might think that he respects me as a human being.
Yeah.
But
no, I
don't know if
agree.
He really does.
I agree.
But I do really like
that. Loyalty is huge. Like, respect and loyalty, I think, go hand in hand as like the baseline.
Mm-hmm.
Of I can remember, actually I think I remember my mum talking about this, about her friends. I don't know if any of them are listening.
Here we go.
It's not you. But talking about like how certain couples, if people are talking about like bitching about their husbands, how that is just like not really okay. And
I agree.
I think I took that in quite deep of like the idea of a partnership being like that is the person that you are ultimately
loyal to. It's a fucking team. And I do think like warning signs, red flag, if other people in your life know more about what bothers you about your partner than your partner,
than your partner does. Yeah,
that's on you.
Yeah,
like, and there are people in my life where, and it's again, I now speak, it's not you. It's you, it's not necessarily like friends, it's not from a friend group. I feel like some of my friends might listen and be like, oh, you're talking about me on the pod. I'm not. It's not a friend situation. But there's a certain couple in particular I'm thinking about where we know a lot about this guy. And it's like a meme. It's like his character is like, oh, no, sort of thing. Like, oh, we all hate him. And it's like whenever anybody sees him or whenever he pops up, it's like everyone.
It's a joke. It's an eye roll.
It's a joke. It's an eye roll. The biggest conversation is like, he's not good enough for her, blah, 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 blah. And I think something I also say when I'm in conversation about this is we infantilize this woman and remove her agency by constantly talking so much about how much better she can do when ultimately she is choosing to still be with this person. And so there's something sinister, I think, about, like, almost it's like, I'm not your guardian, woman.
No, but I do think friends have a responsibility.
Oh, friends.
When they're in their right minds. Like, I think if you are quick to critique somebody else's life, mm-hmm. take a quick look around your own life quickly.
Yeah, just shut the
quick
fuck
scan
up,
around. Am I in a position to be talking about this?
Uh-huh.
But I do think it is the role of friends not to, like, control or force opinions down people's throats, but to help their friends and, like, point out their, like, blind spots and things.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it.
I think that's something I would want from my friends, and I think that is one of my core things, that is, like, I need people to be invested, and I want to be invested in people's happiness.
Yeah, I think one of the best ways as well, like, to deal with that as a friend, I think the best thing, and maybe one of the only things you can do in that situation, or, like, the best way to take it, your role there, yeah, is not to control, or, like, you can't even necessarily, like, come in and think you can fix, yeah, or judge. I think all you can do as a friend is, like, remind this person that you love all of the amazing things that they deserve,
yeah.
and just keep that as, like, the priority, that they can use that almost, like, as a compass to navigate with, of, like, okay, in what ways am I not getting what I deserve here?
Yeah.
Because I think that's also one of the first things, and again, in a gendered sense, as young women, one of the first things to go, we see time and time again, is like, oh, don't worry about me and my needs and, yeah. and my respect and my whatever, my happiness, blah, 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 blah. I've seen so many people, and have done so many times myself, just been like, that's okay, I'll be fucking miserable in order to, like, make sure you're all right, or keep you happy or whatever. And I think as friends, it's like, yeah, I would definitely say to Sefi in any situation, just a reminder, I think you deserve someone who wouldn't do this, for example.
100%. I hate when they do that.
I hate when they do. How dare they?
How dare they do that?
No, how fucking dare they?
Also, I think for women, it seems to me, from my view,
from the things you've seen,
that a huge blind spot for women is men and the ways that they are treated by men. Not even necessarily in romantic relationships, but the ways in which men are allowed to treat women, it seems like there seems to be a bit of a space between, like, what a woman is uncomfortable with and what she'll vocalize being uncomfortable about.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I think that's the role of people, to be like, I know that you are uncomfortable here, but you're putting up with this.
Uh-huh. And you're allowed to be annoyed about that. Or you're allowed to not like that, by the way. This isn't just something that you have to deal with. Like,
it's encouraged to not like it.
It's like,
you
know, of course that makes you feel uncomfortable. Yeah. And you're allowed to say that it makes you feel fucking uncomfortable. Yeah, because it's horrific. This thing.
Look at it.
This thing that's happening. Yeah.
But you can't almost get perspective once, like, the biology of, like, lust and, oh God, let's be put love into it. Like, once all of this deep, deep stuff starts getting involved, it is so hard to see clearly. Like, God, when I start even, like, having a remote crush on someone, you start overlooking certain things, even shallow little things. But it's like, look, okay, once, say you're 20 years deep in a marriage, you, by that
I've
point,
not got a hope in hell,
you,
to be
you
honest.
Can't see clearly. And I think that's when it is so useful to have women
people
that
love you,
genuinely have your back.
Totally. And also, I think it's the classic thing that we say about, like, we learn, I mean, society tells us in lots of different ways that a woman is, like, for example, most desirable when she just shuts the fuck up and like, lie back and think of England, sort of thing. Like, when you just keep yourself small and like, how dare you stand up for yourself? Yeah, all of those things. And it's that classic cool girl thing of, like, not being allowed, as you said, to, like, vocalize.
Yeah.
Things that are obviously fucking pissing you off. And then it's like, if you can't say it now when you're 23 and it's, like, kind of getting to you, it's kind of jarring every time he brings it up or every time X, Y, and Z happens. God forbid, if you stay with that person or just you never vocalize that that is the kind of thing that annoys you, for the next 25 years, there will
be... You haven't got hope in hell.
No, and you only leave room for a ton of resentment. Like, that issue probably won't go away. You
no,
might even
won't.
Forget the way
won't.
That that made you feel. You might forget that that was even a worry that you had, but you will be left with, like, an underlying resentment. And also, I think, a lack of security, trust in yourself, a lack of self-esteem, that you see yourself as someone who will not defend themselves. Like, your perception of yourself is, I am not worth standing up for myself, or like, I don't deserve better. The yeah. most harmful thing, actually, I think, as like a young woman, you can think is like, I don't deserve better than this. Yeah. This is what I deserve.
Yeah. Because that's when the risk, the fear of losing someone that isn't worth shit anyway. That's what I see so often. Someone staying in something because they're so terrified of like what the alternative is.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, God, the whole identity is wrapped up in this thing. The whole life is joined in this way. But actually, if you actually played out what that scenario is, it's so easy to see as an outsider, God, that is so much fucking better. But when you're in it, you can't even comprehend what your life would look like outside of it.
New song on Taylor Swift's new album unreleased called I Can Do It With a Broken Heart, I think it's called.
Oh, love.
Which I love. And I love that. I was just watching the Chats and Reacts video about the track list, so I feel quite it's like really You're fresh on my mind. I'm in the zone of like all the names of the songs.
Yeah.
But I feel I like that one because it kind of feels like as well something that we keep saying for like the past 2 months of like, as you said, like play it out. I trust that you can do it. It's like, you know, it might be shit and it might be hard, but you will do it. And it's kind of the fear of a name only increases fear of the thing itself. It's like, that would be so horrible if that were to happen, but it then it's like, oh, but then it did happen and you did survive it.
It's horrible until it's not. And the alternative is it stays it's being still horrible. It's like, I hate to tell you, it currently is horrible. It currently, but the delusion. Well, I don't know your life, but if you're in one of those situations, it is already currently horrible. What's so bad about taking the risk until it gets actually better?
Can I also say something fucked up on a separate note?
Yeah.
Just a second ago, I like moved my foot and it touched the top of my tea, but now I do want to drink my tea. Do you think that's
bad? I'm not weird about things like that. Like
my sock.
Yeah,
on the mug.
Honestly, I've seen you do a lot worse, I'm not gonna lie.
Really? Like what?
Yeah.
What have I done worse?
Well, I just feel like we're not really the sort of people that would get bothered by like a hair in the food and things like that.
No, not really, but what have I done worse? I would love to know. Is there something on your mind? Someone did ask us before the grossest thing you've done. I would do a gross thing, although I don't think I do that many gross things in front of you. So that begs questions.
Well, I've seen. Look, I just.
Go on, put it out there.
I haven't seen you ever turn down.
Oh, no. Something. That is so true. Just end the sentence there. Scraps.
I know. I can't think of an example, but I would be shocked if you said, oh, I'm not going to.
I wouldn't partake
eat that because it would have because I agree, like I'm more gonna pick hair out of my food rather than turn down the food.
Absolutely.
If it's got hair in, there's no way that I'm not gonna eat that because of that.
No, fuck it.
Unless I've seen the person and I really really can't stay. Like if someone spat in my food, I wouldn't be able to eat it though.
Spit is different.
Yeah, it is very, isn't it? It's very different.
It's very different. It's wet. There's a wetness and it's from the throat.
It's a mouth thing though, I think, for me. I can't deal with that.
I don't love that, but anyway. No. Well, thanks for the support. I did drink the tea. It was great.
Yeah, as you should.
Okay, this is going really... I'm not going to lie, I'm very happy
this
about
is soft,
this.
Nice. Yes. How's everyone doing on the ride? Anyone need any refreshments?
How's everyone feeling? Yeah, we can stop for a break if you want.
Anyone want to go to the toilet? Cord?
You know what we could do? Little ad break.
Oh, they're lovely. Lovely.
Which,
here we go.
I have seen some questions. Do you still get paid if you skip the ads? Yes. Just hypothetically
do
speaking.
Do we though? I actually don't know that.
Yeah, you do know that because remember we had that meeting and Emmy was like, they can't tell if you skip the ads.
Oh,
there's
yes,
no technology.
Yes, because I've been
that.
Telling everyone skip, skip, skip. And then I was like, shit, actually, where did I get that from?
Yeah, no, skip, skip, skip. Hypothetically speaking, allegedly, if you were to be skipping ads, I would do nothing but support you. Pat on the back.
Always.
Yeah, not here to waste your time. Not that ads are a waste of time, just to be clear.
No, yeah. If you're an advertiser. Definitely not a waste of time.
No.
But if you're a listener, you know.
Just do what's best
for you. Do what you want to do.
Do what you have to do.
Let your
and
fingers
on that
move
note.
Freely on the screen.
Over to you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay.
Okay, hope that was a nice ad break.
That was nice.
God knows what you just heard. I'm just looking through the answers now.
Okay, so this is one I relate to. And I feel like my... Okay, so here's where I'm coming from. I don't necessarily want to out my parents. Like, I don't want... Obviously, like, I owe them my life in a literal sense.
Yeah.
I'm not here to out them. But I also don't feel like a freshness or a rawness. I feel really comfortable speaking about...
What happened?
Yeah, the impact of, like, their choices, their behaviours, their relationship on me. I also think... Maybe especially I think it's important because of that relationship. I was the only child, and I think when you're the only person in that experience, it's very easy, like kind of what you were saying earlier, of like to not vocalize or not even be able to process the things that are happening. Like, I didn't have someone to turn to and be like, that was fucking weird, or like, hang on, did she just say blah blah blah? Do you know what I mean? Like, just all of those things that I think, if that's your experience with a sibling, you might take it for granted, like just being able to look over at someone and kind of roll your eyes or like, yeah, just have that moment of connection with literally another human being of like, that was fucked up. And I also think it means that I can really easily, I think it makes it easier as well to kind of slip into the like, the kind of classic traumatized thing of just like your memories start to slip, or like you view the situation in a certain way, or do you know what I mean? Like, I don't have anyone turning to me and being like, wait, do you remember when blah 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 blah? And it's like, if you're not refreshing your memory in that way, they do just kind of become a part of you and get lost in like just the making of you. They just kind of get buried in your soul somewhere. So I'm sure there are so many things that I have no memory of. Like, there are huge parts of my life that I just can't access, like, well, I've really wiped out. And it would have been really helpful to have someone else around, like, no, this is what happened, or like blah,
I think
blah,
that's
blah.
One of the weird things of like, my sister has often said things where I'm like, this has happened, and she's like, no, it was this, and
it was different
things. We were in the same room,
so interesting.
I remember it differently to she. Like, she was like, we ate baguettes, we had like hummus and crisps and like French bread before, and I was like, she was like, that was after. I was like, no, it was before, and like all of it, like, we have
so
such
interesting
different stories. And also I definitely take for granted from hearing you talk about this the amount of processing you do talking
with others,
to other people that actually were there, like the amount, just the, you live through it with someone, and that they knew the whole thing. And I think it's just a different fucking beast to do it
totally
alone.
It's just, it's just different. And I also think that's such a nice thing as well, to have someone who loved you then and has loved you through it and loves you still now. Like, not to be cringe about you and your sister, for example, but it's like, there's just, that's why it's so special. Like, and I will say, oh my god, I was saying this the other day to my boyfriend, and it's actually really sad. Like,
oh no.
No, this is actually so sad. Like, when I was saying it, I was like, that's actually fucked up.
Go on.
It's not that sad. It's actually not that big of a deal. It's literally on a long list of things that have happened to me. It's the least of our worries, yeah, is this. Yeah. But I was kind of thinking of it as an adult and almost like how I would view a child saying these things to me.
Yeah, which is that's the tearjerker.
That's the
when
kicker.
You picture a kid, it's like, no.
A child, a little baby. Right, so yeah. in this situation, I'm an only child, okay?
Yeah.
All on my own, literally.
Yeah.
And I would beg and beg and beg for a sibling. No, we're not having any more kids. No. Beg and beg and beg. Even like from under the age of, I mean, probably like around five, I'd be like, please, please. Because I remember this is kind of like, maybe I'm giving too much about my parents, but I remember my grandparents, I remember my dad's mum saying, like, you know, Erin's five now, so the gap's getting quite big, like you should probably have another kid soon. Which is crazy.
Right, it's like, pressure.
Yeah, but it wasn't happening anyway. Honestly, like, thanks to her for trying. Like, I appreciate it. Like, God, this kid really needs somebody. Please, 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 please to my parents. Please, please, please. I want a sibling. I want a sibling. I want a sibling. Nothing. No, sorry, Erin. We're not having another kid. Please, 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 please. I want a dog. I want a dog. I want a dog.
God.
No, we're not getting a dog. Excuse me?
Yeah, at least give this kid a dog.
Give the kid a fucking... It's the least you can fucking
even
do.
Even a cat.
Anything.
A guinea pig, anything. I'll take
Find
what you
got.
Find
this kid something to do.
Yeah.
And I remember once saying to you, and you were like, that's so sad. I remember saying, sorry, this is really like, woe is me, but it's just,
no,
it's kind of funny.
That's woe it.
It is woe. I remember saying to you, I remember promising myself, like, now as an adult, I'm like, if a kid ever said to me, can we play with me, I would never deny them. Like, I would always, like, it's like, oh, I'm fucking knackered, but whatever, I'll fuck it. Like, I will never turn down playing with a child who's bored. Yeah. And you were like, that's so fucking sad, because it's obvious that it's like, yeah, you were like a sad, lonely, bored little kid being please play with me, and being refused, being denied.
Also, I think it says something to me of, like, as a kid, if I was asking an adult to play with me, desperate times. Like,
no,
the fact that you're
you've got no
about
idea
a kid asking you to play with you.
Yeah.
Like, the only kids, like, I've babysat a lot of kids in my life. The kids that, most kids that I've met, that are like, it depends if they're with siblings, if I try and play with them, they're like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, you're an old freak.
You're killing
don't
the vibe.
Even come
near
this game, you don't understand it.
Yeah.
But the kids that have asked me to play with them,
yeah, the
you
isolated
can see
ones. Yeah,
it's a different experience of playing.
Totally.
So I think I think that's what it's saying to me of, like, the fact that as a kid you were asking adults to play with you.
Yeah,
that's like, no, get this kid a dog. Get
I
this
think
kid
it's
dog.
When honestly, guys,
it's unfair.
How about get a fucking? How dare you? You're going to bring this human being on their own into this world, put them through some things,
yeah,
and then deny them a dog? Give me something, Jesus. Out of my skull anyway.
Oh God, get her a DS,
get her something.
Yeah.
Like, I would literally not just play with me, it's like, can you tell me what to draw?
Yeah, tell me a story.
Give me something. And they'll be like, surprise me. It's like, give me something, you fucking can't. Anyway,
just surprise me.
Surprise me. Are you that fucking
just tell me a rabbit.
Say any, you could literally say anything. Any fucking thing,
and I'll draw
it's
the best
not much to
you've
ask hey
ever seen.
I'm fucking 6 years old, I'm bored. Give me something. Jesus, it's mental. It explains so much about me, truly. It's crazy.
I've definitely been thinking about this recently.
Mm.
Just with, like, you can really trace so many traits back to, like, early shit. Like,
everything.
Even though that's old news, like, I've known that.
No,
like,
I know.
We know that, like,
we know that
your personality is formed so early. Like, of course, this stuff impacts you, but it's
but
like,
I think
no,
the
it
older
just
you get,
impact you. It
shapes
you.
Yes.
Like, actually, it doesn't just, like, oh, it drives you a bit left.
It gives
you
a hint.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
no.
It's like slight little things. No, you are the decision, the
it's
things
wild.
That happen to you in so many ways. Like, as a kid, like, obviously you're not, and you're not defined by anything horrific that happened to you, but so many of the beliefs that you carry.
Yeah, it's so formative.
Are, like, direct responses to things you saw.
Totally. And I think in the way that you were like, it doesn't have to be this damning thing of like,
no.
Oh, I'm doomed then, so I am the makeup of all of that shit. It's like, no, I will give myself then, I'll forgive myself for
permission,
like, snapping at work or isolating my, like, all of these habits that you might have. You can fucking blame somebody else, not your problem, joking. but you get the gist.
But it's not your fault. I think that's the crucial
bit.
Yeah. Like, it's your problem, unfortunately, and it shouldn't be your problem. Yeah. It shouldn't be like that, but it's not your fault.
Boy.
That's a real distinction to make. And I think actually without that knowledge, you carry it like it is your fault.
It's wild. It's actually wild. Yeah, people have said so many good things.
Let me have another read.
This is really lovely.
Mm.
I think this is actually an important one for us to share.
Yeah.
So the first thing they said, my parents kissed in front of us a lot and always backed each other up, which I just feel like, God, love. Love, love, love.
Love.
But then they also said, my father was so gentle, I will never be with a man that raises their voice or loses their temper.
Queen. Love you.
Queen.
Love you.
Crux. Love. Everything.
Crux.
Everything.
So, man shouting, I have a real thing about it. Like, so, sort of, there was absolutely no, like, so, oh, wait, let me get that right. So, like, wait, let me get it right. Men shouting, I just have a real thing about. I, for some reason, I would always talk about this with my sister, about how if my granddad, who was like the most gentle, sort of passive man, like kind of my grandma's the boss,
king,
and
king,
he
king.
All he does is sleeps in his chair, talks about sort of clock mechanisms and cogs turning, and reads the paper. That's kind of
stunning.
He's divine.
We love
digging up beans in the garden. Like, he's the most passive sort of guy. Love.
Yeah.
If things got a bit like sort of stressful at the table, he would sometimes bang on the table and go, stop, like just go shush, and instant tears. Like,
yes,
honestly, if a man shouts, instant tears. If my dad was to shout at me, God, I would be in floods of tears. Whereas if my mum shouted at me, I'd could give it back.
Same old Wednesday.
Yeah, excuse What's new? Me. What the fuck did you say? If my sister shouted at me, fuck you, bitch. If my brother shouted at me, different thing. I'm crying. Like,
fascinating.
If a male teacher shouted at me, tears. Like,
what if a woman teacher shouted at you?
I definitely feel upset, but nothing like if a man shouted. And I think and I've spoken to people about this so much, and so many people have said the same, that it's like if a man raises their voice, it like triggers something so like in me. And I don't even think I've particularly had like an experience of like men being like loud with me in any way, but I think it triggers something so core in like the way that I've been taught to like respect men over women. It's like if a man, like the authority figures of this world, if they shout at you or if they raise your voice at you and you frustrated them to that level,
death,
it means so it means much. Oh my God, like to a shaking level. And I can't remember what the message was now, but that just reminded me of that.
Well, it's also kind of the thing of like in that moment, it's almost the belief is like, this man is not choosing me. I am not being loved and protected by this man.
Good.
Yes, I'm not good enough.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's dangerous.
I'm not being good enough for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
So scary.
It's
like,
so fucked up.
Yeah.
I do think that was one thing, actually, kind of going back to that person saying, like, my dad was so gentle, I'll never be with someone who shouts, etc.
Yeah.
Because agreed, actually. And I think one of the things that one of the best things that I took from my childhood and like my relationships that I was shown like as a kid was very much like, your relationship is about a balance and don't give too much sort of thing. Like, don't let yourself get lost in somebody else. I think that's like a huge thing for me of like, I won't ever lose my sense of self or my identity or like my desire, my wants, my whatever, the things that I request and need in life, the things that that are important to me, I can't lose for somebody else. And I won't let someone else expect me to bend over backwards for them with nothing in return. Like, I think the exchange and like the give and take is everything.
Yeah, I think that's so rare, though, to be able to find somebody that, like, I even think the expectations of a relationship, like a woman going into a relationship and a man going into a relationship, are so different. Like, I think a man often reads that they are giving so much, when actually if you looked at it, like, objectively, it's nowhere even close to equal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so much of women's labour is just like unseen, forgotten stuff.
Yeah.
And actually, I was just saying this to you before we started recording, but in this writing course that I'm doing, we all had to go...
This is lots, everything.
Yeah, it's honestly...
This is Jesus. Everything. This is the crux.
This was a unfortunately crazy thing to hear, actually.
Yeah.
It's a lot of like... there are lots of like sort of middle-aged women in the room, or like women from all ages, really. But I would say a lot of them are between the ages of like 40 and 60.
Mm-hmm.
And we everyone went round the room and they were talking about like their ideas for a novel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about like how to have the access to this many women's like inner minds, stuff they wouldn't necessarily say, but because they're writing about fiction, but so clearly yeah. it's based on their experiences. I would say 80% of the women, their stories were about a woman who losing her identity and a man stuck in a loveless marriage, a lot of them killing their husbands, so much resentment, trapped, having that's affairs, wild. Their husband's been cheating on them, or like so many of them were about like coming back to themselves, they're lost in their relationships. Mm-hmm. And it was harrowing, actually.
Yeah, no, it's wild. Because yeah. then, can we also say there was like one guy and his story was essentially, was this woman in the shower?
It was porn.
It was literally pornographic.
It was literally porn.
Which is crazy.
We had to critique that today. I was there earlier, and the confidence with which he read a story about a woman scratching her legs. It was like she... Oh, I don't want to give too much, but it's like she was in the shower, she had like a rash, and like
she's
she was
exploring like, her queerness. It's like, why is that on your mind? Why are you entitled what? To
and like
it's just bizarre.
All of the women in here are writing about how they resent their lives uh-huh. essentially because they've given everything to men, and isn't it like
it and was isn't an it funny
it was absurd
that the man like, is writing about a woman in the shower. Interesting.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate.
It's like that is actually like if we're writing here about write what you know, essentially, like every yes. single one of them, it was shocking. Like it was almost to the point of like a bit of a gag. Like every
well, I
single
do
woman
also
was talking about resentment.
Just when you were saying that, I do also think it says something in a kind of creative sense. It says something about the things that women are taught to fear. Like yeah. it's a huge fear generally, like in society, for women to.
Get stuck
have,
in a
thing. Yeah to be fucked yeah. over by a man, like we are yeah. told in a sense from like the second you fucking open your eyes as a kid, you
beware,
learn
sort of thing.
Totally beware
yeah.
And I think but it's I think more it's than just a reflection of like
real.
it is but I also think it's something about the narratives that we're sold, and I think there is a weird it kind of is like the kind of infantilization or like women losing their agency, and almost kind of like being a bit generous, I think, with the power that we give these men. It's almost like yeah. we, you know, they're not all that.
Yeah. And people survive crazy
people
shit
survive
that men
worse
do to them, to
than
be honest. Like,
being fucked over by a man every day.
Let's like be fucking real for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody here in this conversation is naive to the harrowing things. Me and you, and Harry, of course.
And
Harry
and I was like, Derek,
nobody here
you.
And there is a big group of us here is naive there to is. The horrific things that men do to women on a daily basis. We all know it.
Mm.
And women keep surviving, women keep
oh, it's all we do.
Living through it, creating amazing things from it. Women keep teaching
your
people.
Favorite Taylor Swift lyric,
what is it? Honey, I rise up from the dead, I do it all the time. Best line.
There we go.
The only line I can remember. That's the...
It's, the crux.
Yeah.
That's the crux.
That is the crux.
You can do it, guys. Come
you
on.
Can do it.
And we're right here with you. Here we go. Look, we're pulling up now. Back into the park we go. Oh, no, we find ourselves.
We've got a little hat if you want to leave a tip.
exit through the merch
photos
shop.
Will be
sophieandwing.co.uk. love you so much, guys. Hope everyone's okay.
Yeah, hope everyone's okay. You deserve so much.
Everything.
You really do. And you are, if you find yourself in a position that you don't like, with a man, for example, you are strong enough to leave it. Your life is so much better without that shit.
You're divine. If you don't hear from us,
assume the worst.
Lovely episode.
Wow, so much better than I thought.
Good one, right?
Great ep. Yeah,
I thought if it could come naturally, it could be great.
It did come,
and
naturally.
I think it did. Yeah.
Oh,
okay,
natural, baby.
Should I take the intro?
Yeah.
You sound like the man from your writing course. Oh, natural, baby. Okay.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.